Would you say this with me? Everything matters. Come on. Everything matters. How many of you are finding out in your life that that really is a true statement? That no matter what is going on, everything really does matter. One more time, would you help me welcome the campuses that are joining with us today? Wherever you're at, we're glad you're there. Many of you may not know we're a multi-site, multicultural, multi-generational church that is passionate about pursuing the Holy Spirit. We're glad you're there today, and I'm excited. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and each week it's my opportunity to bring the Word of God to you. We've been talking about this subject of everything matters. In other words, in all of our life, it doesn't matter the big things, the little things. I was reading today, I don't know how many of you are doing on our app, on our Love and Truth app. There's a Bible reading plan on there. I would encourage you to do that. It's a real easy way to do that. If you haven't downloaded the app, do that. Yes, this is a paid announcement. Not really, okay? It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't give us anything. But there's a whole Bible reading plan that's on there. And I was reading today, and it's in the book of Deuteronomy, and it was talking about the Lord was making all these commandments, and he said, fulfill all the commandments wholly. In other words, all of them, the big ones, the little ones, all of them, because in doing that, I can bless you. And I thought, you know what? It fit right in with what we're talking about, even what this whole year is going to be about, is that everything in our life really matters. Now, we're in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, okay? If you get to Matthew, you've gone too far. Go back about five books to your left, and you'll be there, okay? And it'll come up on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you. But we've been talking about vision, how that in all of our lives, that if everything matters, that we really need a vision for our family. We need a vision for us spiritually, of course, and we need a vision as far as our business is concerned or where the place of employment, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're looking here in the book of Habakkuk. In fact, let me just read it to you because there are some principles in the Word of God that it doesn't matter who it's written to specifically, you can still take the principles and apply them to your life, and that's what we're doing here. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2 says, and the Lord answered me, write the vision. We talked about that the first week, that in writing the vision, that you had to have a clear objective and that you had to be going for something that you clearly saw. He said, write the vision. And then last week we talked about this whole aspect of making it plain. In other words, of preparation time, that to really get it plain, it's going to take you some time to work it out, to get there. And then today it goes on, it says, and make it plain on tablets that he who reads it may run. And that's what we're going to be looking at today of how we go about involving others in this journey. It goes on to say, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but it speaks of the end and does not lie. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. Now, the passage there said, write the vision, make it plain, so that he who runs can read it. In other words, that it is so clear that you can share it with somebody else, that you can get somebody else involved with it, and that they're able to grab it and run with it as well. Now, let's talk about involving others in this journey of life. Here's what I know. All great visions take others to help you to complete it. Okay? Doesn't matter anything in life that really is going to make a lasting difference or make a generational difference or whatever is going to come about not because you did it by yourself. You know, you can't stand up and sing, I did it my way. All right? You got to stand up and sing, we did it our way. Okay? It's that coming together with others. In fact, the Word of God gives us the clarity about that. The Scripture says that one can put 1,000 to flight. In other words, you go to battle, one might can run off 1,000, but it says two can put 10,000. Now, that's an interesting mathematical formula. I'm not real good with math and multiplication, but normally you would say 1 to 1,000 and 2 would be 2,000, right? And that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says there's something powerful about unity, that when we come together in unity, great things take place. So we need to understand that power that's there in unity. Now, how many of you know that Jesus came to this earth for a mission, right? Did you know that? Jesus had a vision, and that vision was to seek and to save the lost. That was his mission. That was his vision for life, that he didn't come to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. Now, the Word of God tells us that Jesus was God in flesh, that he was God incarnate. Now, if anybody who ever came to this earth ought to be able to fulfill their mission by themselves, it ought to be Jesus, hadn't it? I mean, think about that for a minute. I mean, if anybody could do it, surely Jesus could do it. And yet what we find about Jesus is that he's always bringing other people on board. At one point it's 12, one point it's 70, another point it's 100 plus. That he's always bringing other people in. And so I began to think about that. I thought, man, if we've got to get other people involved in our vision, whether it's for our family or our spiritual walk with God or especially in any kind of business or in the economy of our lives, then how do we learn and who do we learn from? And I thought, well, there's really not anybody better than Jesus, is there? Right? And so I begin to look at this. In Matthew, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 4 if you want to go there in your Bibles. But in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus shows up. John the Baptist is baptizing. And Jesus gets baptized of John. And the Bible says some interesting things happen when Jesus comes up out of the water. It says that the Holy Spirit descends and sets upon Jesus. And then there's this voice that speaks from the heavens and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well please." Let me ask you a question. How many of you have some people in your life that you would just like to gather them all around and have the voice from heaven do that to you? Right? Come on, am I the only one? Just one time, I just gather them all in a room and let God say, "This is my beloved son or my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased." Get over it, right? And that's what happened in this moment. And then the fourth chapter, you roll out of the third chapter with all this happens, and the fourth chapter says, "And the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness." One translation says, "And the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness." And he's in there for 40 days and nights, and most of you have heard this story before. And after the 40 days and nights of being in the wilderness and praying and fasting, the Bible says Satan shows up and tempts him with three temptations. The first temptation, now watch what happens here, okay? Because here's where you've got to come to. If we're looking at Jesus as the picture of what you and I need to do, then we need to figure out what he did before he started choosing people to be on his team. And so here's what happens. He gets there in this wilderness temptation, and he begins to deal with some things in his life. And here's what I found out. Involving others starts right here. Okay? Involving others in your life starts with you. It started with Jesus first, and then he goes out and begins to bring others on board. Let me share with you four things real quickly that I see here that I think is really important for you if you want to involve other people on your journey to fulfill the vision that you have for your life. If I were to do this in a strictly secular setting today, I'd ask you, how many of you want to be great business people? How many of you want to make millions of dollars? How many want you? And man, people be shouting, they'd be excited. And yet, there's so much more to life than just being a successful business person and making lots of money. Right? So how do we extrapolate the truth out of Scripture and apply it to our lives? Now, here's some things that I think you've got to settle, first of all, before you start getting people on your team. First of all, number one is you must know who you are. Okay? Don't miss this. Here's what happens. Satan shows up and says to Jesus after 40 days, he says, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Now, remember what I told you that happened to Jesus 40 days before at his baptism? Remember, there was a voice from heaven that spoke, and what did it say? It says, "You are my beloved Son." What does Satan do as soon as he shows up? The first thing he does is attack who Jesus is. See, a lot of us don't know who we are. Satan shows up, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." The problem is, as long as you don't know who you are, you can't take anybody where God wants you to go. All right? I want you to hear that, because I think especially those of you who are younger than me, those of you in your 20s especially, listen to Pastor. I've been down a few roads, and I've learned that in your 20s, you're trying to be what everybody else is. You're trying to figure it out, and so you're with this person, and so you like them and that. And I can remember, I went into ministry early. I took my first church at 25, and I would go to conferences, or I would listen. Back in that day, you had cassette tapes. I even know what A-tracks are, people. Come on, all right? That's how old I am. And you had the radio. And I can remember growing as I went into ministry that every day, and this will mess with some of you, every day I would listen, first of all, to John MacArthur. All right, what's a spirit-filled guy listening to John MacArthur? And secondly, I would listen to Chuck Swindoll. And I learned some techniques from both of them on preaching or whatever. And then years later, I started listening to Charles Stanley all the time. And I've had people say, you preach a lot like Charles Stanley. And I said, well, I listened to him so many years that I probably picked up some things that he does. But here's what I want to say to you. That I found out real quickly that I wasn't Charles Stanley. I even went on a couple of cruises with Charles Stanley, but I'm still not Charles Stanley. All right? I'm not T.D. Jakes. I can say, get ready until the cows come home, and I won't sound like T.D. Jakes. All right? I had to determine who I was, what my giftings were, and to use them to the best of my ability. Why? Because nobody wants to buy in to an imitation. Everybody is looking for the real thing. So first of all, you've got to settle who you are. Secondly, you've got to realize where your source is. Satan says, go ahead, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When you know that your source is not on this earth, now I'm talking to those of you who are Christ followers, who know Jesus, listen to me. When you know that he is your source, all of a sudden it changes the whole picture. See, I've said for years, and don't worry, we've already taken the offering, so chill, okay? But here's what I want you to understand. Giving to the house of God, your tithe and your offering, has never been about money. People say, oh, yes, it is. No, it's not. It's all about who do you trust? Who is your source? If your source is yourself or your job, then you're really scared to release anything into the kingdom of God. But if your source is God, if he is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord God, your provider, when you understand that, all of a sudden those kind of things become pretty easy. So Jesus said, listen, I know who my source is. My source is not turning stones into bread. My source is God, and I'm going to depend on him. The third thing that's got to happen, because I got to hurry, is that you've got to stay focused, okay? The Bible says that Satan then takes him to the pinnacle of the temple and says, and now Satan starts quoting scripture. Well, the Bible says that if you even trip and dash your foot against the stone, that the angels will bear you up. Why don't you just cast yourself off and prove who you really are? And Jesus just looked at him and said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In other words, he is staying focused on his mission. He knows what he's called to do. And the problem with so many of us is that we lose our focus and then wonder why we never succeed at the things we feel like God has called us to do in our lives. And we begin to get kind of sidetracked, and we find ourselves in places that we didn't mean to go, doing things we didn't mean to do. The fourth thing is you must never take the easy way out. The third thing that Satan did here was he took Jesus to the and showed him the Bible says the kingdoms of the earth. Well, there was one reason Jesus came, and that was to take back the kingdoms. All right. And the devil says, they've been given to me, and he's right. Adam and Eve had given the kingdom of this earth to Satan. And the scripture says that Satan said, if you'll just bow down and worship me, if you'll do the easy thing, you won't have to go through the cross. And Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and he's the only one you should serve, all right? And so there's this understanding that I can't take the easy way in my life. And so Jesus comes out of this place of identifying who he is, clarifying some things about his life, and then we see him immediately in this passage here as we continue through it, that we see him then beginning to call people to come alongside of him to fulfill the vision and the mandate that he has upon his life. For the sake of time, I won't read it, but you can find it in Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 18 through 22. And it says that Jesus is walking one day, and he comes beside the Sea of Galilee there, and he sees two brothers named Simon Peter and Andrew, who are throwing their nets, it said, and they're fishermen. And Jesus in that moment looks at them, and he says, "Hey guys, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And the Bible says, I love this, the Bible says they immediately dropped their nets and followed Jesus. Now think about that. And it says, and going on from there, he found two other brothers, and he calls them, John the son of Zebedee, and they get there, they're mending their nets, and he calls them to follow him. And the Bible says they also followed Jesus. I think it's interesting here when we begin to see how Jesus went about getting people with him in this journey, all right? Are you ready to go? Because again, now these are real practical things. These are things that if you are a business owner, you can use this. If you are in any kind of management, you can use this. But it's not just that. You can also use it in your walk with God in the different areas of your life. Okay, so first of all, you've got to invite people in, all right? The first thing Jesus did was he said, "Come and follow me." All right? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been to somebody's house and they had asked you to come over, but as soon as you knocked on the door, you know they had forgotten to? Come on. They've got that panic look, and you look past them into the room, and it's just, let's just say it is not guest approved at that point. Ever had that? Anybody ever had that happen? It's like, oh, no, not. Oh, you came today. I thought you were coming. Right? Or the other extreme is that you walk into those houses where everything's covered in plastic. The couches have that plastic cover on it that you stick to if you sit there too long because they don't want anything. And you are so ill at ease the whole time you're there. You know, you don't want to touch anything. You don't want to breathe deep because it's just not a good setting. Well, let me help you. If you want people on the journey with you, you got to invite them in, okay? And here's the deal. Here's the reason why. You need to understand that you need other people with you. Right? You can't do what you're called to do. I don't care what dimension it is in life, because God made us for connection. You can't do what you're called to do in life at any level without having somebody else alongside of you walking with you. So you need to understand. You need to just settle that. And in fact, right now, just look at your neighbor. Would you do this? And just say, you need somebody. Come on. Come on. Just you. One or two of you been wanting to tell them a thing or two. Okay? Go ahead and preach on just for a minute there if you want to and really settle it. But we all need somebody else, right? And so that's the first thing. The second thing I love about Jesus is Jesus says, come and follow me. I mean, and watch this. Jesus didn't ease up on it. Okay, Jesus didn't come to him and say, "Hey guys, guess what? We're going to go out here and we're going to walk around the countryside. But man, don't worry about anything. Every night you're going to get to be back home with your wife, and you know, don't worry about money. I'm going to give you plenty of money. And you know what? It's just, in fact, this is just going to be the most fun you've ever had in your life." Jesus doesn't do that, does he? I mean, Jesus just gets in their bed and says, "Come and follow me." And the Bible says, "And they left everything and followed him." Here's what I found out. If you want people on your journey, you need to call for a great commitment. Jesus isn't saying, "Hey, it'd be nice if." Jesus is calling for a great commitment. I think that's one of the worst things in the church today is that we have dumbed down the commitment level. Oh, help me. Right? Well, you know, we'll build a thing for your kids, and if we build it, will you come? The problem with the you build it, they will come mentality is next month somebody will build a bigger one. And it'll be nicer and it'll be more plush. And if the only reason that you're going to a local church of whatever stripe or it is, you know, if the only reason it's going is because of what you're getting out of it, oh, help me. You have not understood the call of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus doesn't come into your life and say, "Oh, I'm going to make your life so much better." Jesus comes and says, "Hey, you ready to die? Have y'all read this? I mean, I know you brought it to church to look religious. You know, hallelujah, Yes, 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 I have my Bible, yes. There's some stuff in this Bible. It will mess your world up. If you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself. Take up your... Oh. And he's not talking about that little pretty one you got around your neck. A little gold chain hanging there so delicately. He's talking about those real heavy splinters in them, get in your business kind of crosses. See, Jesus calls for a great commitment. And I have found out that people buy in to great commitments much quicker than something small. All right? Thirdly, results come through relationships. In your life, in my life, we need to understand that results come through relationships. If I'm going to involve others, it is because that I know that I need them, but not only do I need them, they need me, and together we're going to be able to make a huge difference in this world. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to be world changers, each and every one of us. The second thing that you've got to do is that you've got to show them what you can do for them. All right, so you challenge them, and now you show them what you can do. Because here's what Jesus said. He said, come and follow me, and I will make you, right? Now, he's not using that in the term that you do when you tell your four-year-old. I'm going to make you clean that up. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about forming us. He's talking about getting us to that place that you and I need to be. And so what we have to do, and what Jesus did, is that we have to challenge people with opportunities. Okay, first of all, we call for a great commitment, but then we show them the opportunities of what's going to happen in their life if they will get on board with whatever it is that we feel like God has for us. You know what? In your family, let me slow this thing down for a minute. In your family, yes, I know you're the parent, and every parent has said this, just do it because I said so. Every one of us have done that. You get frustrated, you get tired of saying it, and you just say, just do it because I said so. But I promise you, if you can somehow get them to see the opportunity of what's going to transform their lives, if they'll do what you're trying to get them to do, all of a sudden life becomes a lot easier, even in the family, if we get there. When you read the scripture, there are certain things God says do, and there are certain things God says don't do. And we can look at that and say, well, God's legalistic. God's trying to keep me from having fun, or God's trying to change my lifestyle. That's not what God's up to. God is trying to say, if you will do what I tell you to do, I will give you opportunities that will change your world in ways that you will only understand once you start doing what I tell you to do. Make sense? Okay, so we've got to do that. Then you have to help them see that they can make a difference. I believe with all of my heart that every human being wants to make a difference. I don't think any of us just want to breathe up some good air and die. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm just breathing. No, we all, there's something innate inside of us that says, let's make a difference. Well, I need somebody to come along and say, if you do this, if you get involved here, if you are part of this, you are going to make a difference at this level. And so when I begin to understand that, then I begin to help people to see the difference that that can do. The third thing you've got to do is that you've got to set a clear mandate. All right, it's got to be clear. It can't be fuzzy. It can't be, well, I think this is what we're supposed to do. If you own a business, you need to know, as the old saying is what business are you in? That's the first thing you need to know. What's our business? Well, we're making widgets. Great. At least we know what we're doing. All right, the second question is, how's business? What business are we in? Well, y'all just shut down on me. The second question is, how's business? The church, what business are we in? Seeking to save the lost. How's business? How many people have accepted Jesus Christ? How many people got baptized? How many lives have been changed? That's how you know. That mandate has to be clear. This is what we are about. This is what my vision is. I have this vision for my family. I have this vision for my walk with God. I've got this vision, this idea for any aspect of my life. This is what I'm called to do, but I've got to see it clearly, as we talked about last week, and I've got to be able to bring that to this earth in this fashion. Listen, Jesus was about one thing, and that was to seek and to save the lost. Everything he's doing is going for that one focus. All right? If Jesus were to show up in the flesh today, he would stand on this stage and preach to every campus, and he would say, I have come that you would have life and that you would have it more abundantly. And then he would say, here's how you get that abundant life. You get that abundant life that I have for you by coming in a relationship with me, by giving your life to me, and by selling out and following me with everything you've got within you. And he wouldn't back down one bit. He wouldn't try to soft sell it. In fact, Jesus is so blunt. Watch what he says. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, oh yeah, if you didn't get that, nobody comes to the Father except through me. Now, I don't know what part of that you didn't get, but I think that there's many roads to God. That's like saying there's, you know, what doesn't matter which way you go, you'll wind up in Dallas. That's not true. If you go north, you will not get to Dallas. All right, unless you're in Houston. All right? See, we've got to determine that. And so Jesus is just blunt about that. And he's always in people's face. You want to know what I am? I'm about? I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Any man who comes to the Father, he's coming through me. You've got to settle that. And so he's quite clear with the mandate that he's laying out. We've got to be the same way in our lives, in any venture that we're in anything that we're doing, but especially about the things of God. We've got to let people know that the Bible says that there is a way that seems right to humanity, but the end is destruction. The end result is not going to get you where you want to go, because we all want to go to heaven. There's nobody I've ever met that wants to go to hell. But somebody has got to declare the mandate and say, this is what God is saying, and if you want to go to heaven, this is the way that you get there. Now let's get on board and let's go. Okay, that's the preaching for today. I'll gear it back down now. The third thing is, you've got to enlarge their capacities. He said, I'm going to make you, you've been fishermen, but now I'm going to make you fishers of men. In other words, what he said is I'm going to begin to build off of your abilities. The things that you already have in your life, now I'm going to begin to build off of those. Right? Now follow this. If you've ever taken a job, and some of us have, I know I have, and when I was in college and stuff, I took jobs that I was not qualified at any level. I hated them. I didn't have the ability for them. I didn't want to be there. They didn't want me to be there. I mean, I worked for Sherwin-Williams Paint Company, the automotive part of it. And I was the guy that did all the deliveries, and I also mixed the paint. And one day, you know, this was way back in the day. Nowadays, it's all computerized. Back then, you use little weights and whatever. And I put the wrong weight on, and I mixed a gallon of paint for a guy. And it was the wrong color. And he sprayed that car. When I got back the next day to deliver, he did not bless me. He didn't use one Sunday school word the whole time he was talking to me. Right? Why? Because I was out of my element. What in the world was I doing? Dude, I didn't have a clue. I didn't know how to paint cars. But, you know, you get a job. And that's what a lot of us have done, is that we've gotten our lives in places because of money. And we took a job, and we don't have the ability, and we hate it, but we stay, and then we're miserable. Come on, I'm doing better preaching than you're amening. All right? And then Our family's miserable because we're miserable. Well, we're living in the nicest house in the neighborhood, but if they could only see the inside of the house, right? Come on, we've got to help people to live out from their abilities. The second thing is you've got to focus on the purpose of what you're doing. Rick Warren, what, 6, 8, 10 years ago now, I lose track of time, wrote Purpose Driven Life, and everybody wanted the book for 2 years on the New York Times bestseller. A preacher has the number one book for 2 years on the New York Times bestsellers. Why? Because everybody wants to know their purpose. You've got to help people to focus on the purpose if you're going to take them anywhere. Lastly, invite them in to make a difference. Everybody wants to make a difference. All right? If you just tell me I'm going to do the same thing every day and you never show me that I'm making a difference, I will go stark raving mad. All right? I don't care what you're paying me. It doesn't matter. I've got to know I'm making a difference. So whatever it is I'm doing, and again, I'm talking to some of you who are in management, you need to hear me. Help your people to understand what difference they're making. All right? In the kingdom of God, we know that we're making a difference because the difference that we're making is lives are being changed. Okay? Every time you tell somebody about Jesus and they get saved, or every time you just sow a seed, yeah, you might not even see them get saved, but you sow a seed, you're making a difference. That's an eternal difference in people's lives. The last thing is, fourth, is to be a role model, okay? And Jesus does this well. In the 23rd verse, it talks about that Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And it says, and healing all kinds of people and sicknesses and all sorts of diseases in people's bodies. So you and I need to be a role model. And what that means is this, and I'm going to be quick with this, but first of all, is that you have to continue to grow your vision. All right? I've had people come to me through the years, pastors come to me through the years and say, when you started pastoring, did you have this great plan and this great idea of all these churches and all this mission stuff and whatever? And I just start laughing. I go, no. Come on. I started out, my first church was 35 people in a town of 1,500 people. I didn't have a big vision. I can remember telling those people we were going to have 100 people, and they thought I was crazy. When I started talking about 200 people, they knew I was nuts. When I told them that we were going to have 500 people, they were ready to ship me somewhere. Right? But God brought all that. Why? Because the vision kept growing. Then we became a multi-site church. Then we began to do missions all across the world. That now there's 7 campuses in the U.S. and hundreds of churches in Kenya and Uganda and the Philippines. All that. But that was a growing of the vision that continued to just get bigger and bigger and bigger. That, listen, the moment your vision stops growing is the day it starts dying. So let it grow. Let it grow. Secondly, stay connected to those who are involved with you. Don't get so unapproachable that those you're walking with can't get to you. Amen. Now, listen, I know that as a business or an entity grows, that there are different levels and then you have to start separate. I got that. But you need to keep some people involved with you and you with them. Jesus sure did. He wasn't involved with everybody. The multitudes, he'd send away. Even the 70, he would send away. Even at times the 9, he would send away. But he had 3 guys he hung with. Peter, James, and John. He's going to spend time with them. He's going to pour into them. Why? Because he realized they were going to be the ones that was going to be the most impactful for what he had come to do. That's where we've got to get. And lastly, be a person who produces. Okay? Don't quit producing when you reach a certain level of life. All right? Well, I'm the boss. Great. That's wonderful. Glad you are. Praise God. I know you got the parking place that says boss. Got it. Wonderful. But the moment life becomes about sitting in an office with the feet on the desk and playing golf all week long, is the day you just abdicated your leadership and your vision begins to go off the rails and you begin to die. See, Jesus came and he took 12 and he spent life with them. And the Bible says, and one of them was a devil. And then a couple of others of them were suspect. Right? I mean, he looks at Peter one day and he says, "Get behind me, Satan." That's pretty in your face, right? He's got two other guys that either they're wanting to call fire down out of heaven and kill people, right? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the staff coming in on Monday and saying, "Pastor, could we next week just the whole right section? They just weren't worshiping. Would you just call some fire down? Just roast them good, right?" And then if they're not doing that, they're jockeying for position. Hey, and they even get their mom involved. Their mom shows up. Hey, can my boys, one of them sit on the right, one of them sit on the left? Jesus just stays focused on them. He didn't get out of that stuff. He just pours into them. Why? Because he knew he came for a purpose. And that purpose was to change our lives. The Bible says it this way. It says, despising the shame, but looking to the glory, Jesus endured the suffering of the cross. That in my life and in your life, God looked down all the way to here today. And for every one of you who have made that decision, he said, that's my glory. So I'll endure. My mission will be fulfilled because these people have made that decision. But he also looked down today, and there are some of you who are watching me and some of you who are here who are listening to me. And he said, you haven't made that decision yet. You haven't joined up yet. You haven't accepted, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And he said, listen, the whole purpose, the whole reason that I'm here, that I came to this earth, was so that you and I could join up and that I could change your life and that I could help you to make a difference in this earth. And that's what he's called us to. And so my challenge to you as I'm done today is this. First of all, if you're in relationship with Jesus, are you living out the vision? If everything matters, then the vision that he has for you matters. So am I living out that vision? Secondly, if you haven't made that decision, Jesus is coming by right now, and he's saying to you, hey, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Amen.